Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
It was Mother's Day, I think 2008. By the way, happy Mother's Day. We are so grateful for all you moms. I'm grateful for my mom. I know for a lot of you, things are challenging right now. You got the kids at home. You're suddenly their teacher, the principal of the school. You may also have a job you're doing from home. This is a tough Mother's Day for a lot of you. Thank you, moms, for what you're doing and for what you do. Happy Mother's Day. So it was Mother's Day, I think 2008. My kids were little, like 9 and 7. And we took mom out for lunch after church. We ordered. We're waiting for our food. I said, hey, let's all go around and tell mom what we love about her. My daughter, Marissa, 7 years old, raises her hand. I'm like, well, that's cool. She has something to share and she's being polite about it. I said, yes, Riss. She said, can we start by telling mommy things we don't like about her? What? Can we start by telling mommy things we don't like about her? She has some things she needs to change. God, what have we done wrong? Today, we're starting a new series, Liking the Ones You Love. We've probably all heard the saying, I love you, I just don't like you right now. Sometimes we struggle to like the people we love, and that may be even more of a struggle right now as you are stuck in the same house or apartment with the same people all the same time, right? Your roommate, your spouse, your kids. How do you like the people you love? That's what we're gonna talk about for a couple of weeks. And if there's a topic that doesn't seem to fit you, like today we're gonna think about liking your kids, maybe you don't have kids, and that's okay because I am confident you will still get something out of it. So I'd encourage you, just listen and see how it applies to your life. I bet it will. Today, liking your kids. And man, your kids are awesome, except for when they're not. And you love them all the time, but they can be hard to like when they're not awesome. If you are a parent, I want to ask you a question. Do you parent so your kids will like you, or do you parent so you can like them? I'll ask that again. Do you parent so your kids will like you, or do you parent so you can like them? There was a cover story of Newsweek a couple of years ago, said how to say no to your kids, setting limits in an age of excess. The article said parents today want to be their kids' friends so badly that they don't say no because they're afraid their kids won't like them. Now, of course, we want our kids to like us. That's not wrong. The problem is not having your kids like you. The problem is if I raise my kids with them liking me as a high priority. If my kids liking me is my goal, I won't say no to them. I'll do what's called permissive parenting. I will let my kids do whatever they want to do. And there's all kinds of reasons we might do that, right? We don't want to deal with conflict. We're already stressed out from work and everything else. We don't want more stress, or we don't want to burden our kids. We feel like they already have enough pressure. And so we don't say no. We let our kids do what they want. We act more like their friend than an authority. Why? Because we want them to like us. What's ironic is we parent so they'll like us, but that gives them permission to do whatever they want, and they end up acting in ways that makes it really hard to like them, right? Temper tantrums and acting entitled, not being grateful, breaking rules. And so I want to encourage you to raise your kids not so they'll like you, but so you'll like them. So they'll become who they're supposed to become. There is a person God means for your kid to be, right? The Bible tells us that God created kids. He created everyone in his image. There is a person who your kid is supposed to become. As a parent, my job is to help my kid become that person. Part of that is helping them become a person who treats others with respect, right? We serve others, who is kind and compassionate. And if they're going to grow into that kind of person, man, they're going to be easy to like. So how do we do that? How do we parent in such a way that our kids become likable people? I want to give you two key thoughts, and then I'm going to bring out an expert to help us get real practical with this. Two key thoughts, two key things your kids need from you. One, your kids need discipline, or we could say boundaries, or we could say limits. Your kids need loving discipline. They need you to say no. They need you to put limits on their behavior. They need you to apply correction when they rebel against those limits. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17, discipline your children. You'll be glad you did. They'll turn out delightful to live with. We often don't do this. Instead of discipline, we do permissive parenting. What's ironic is that we don't do discipline because we want our kids to like us, but that is not the result of permissive parenting. Here's a quote from the Stanford University Center on Adolescence. They write, despite their good intentions, too many parents find themselves raising wanting machines. The risk of overindulgence is self-centeredness and self-absorption. What that's saying is, listen, the result of not disciplining your kids is not them liking you. It's them becoming self-centered and self-absorbed, and it's them becoming not likable. So first, your kids need discipline. Second, your kids need love. And by the way, those are not opposites. Look what God tells us. And the Bible says, love your children by disciplining them. Disciplining is a way of loving your kids. Your kids need discipline and your kids need love. Our kids need to know we love them the way God loves us. We read in the Bible in Romans 8:38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. We need our kids to know that we are crazy about them, like absolute and unconditional love. All right. I want to give you an opportunity to learn from a professional family counselor, someone who's an expert. This person is also, I think, the best mom I know, and also my wife. And she is a marriage and family therapist. And so she counsels parents on parenting, and she counsels kids, and she counsels families. And so this is kind of her territory. So let's talk about liking your kids. And we've already said that we're going to set a goal of raising kids who are easy to like. Mm-hmm. And there's two main ingredients for that. There's discipline and there's love. So we're going to talk about that. Let's start with discipline. Mm-hmm. What would you say about that?
Yeah. So for discipline, I think the main thing parents need to remember is that they are in charge, that they're in control. Their kids are not. As much as your kids will try to convince you that they want to be in control, they don't. Children thrive with routine. Children thrive with boundaries, all those kinds of things that sometimes as parents we shy away from. Those are the things that actually help our kids to be the best version of themselves. There's safety in that. Yeah. And done well, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's funny because they will fight you, right? From a two-year-old throwing temper tantrums to a teenager slamming doors. Like, they're not going to say, please be the authority in my life. Like, they're going to fight you on it. But man, when you establish authority, kids thrive when they know there's rules and there's boundaries. I can't do whatever I want. That actually is the healthiest way for them to live. And it leads to having kids who are easy to like. And so some of the examples might be, what time do we eat? What do we eat? When do you go to sleep? When do you do homework? Like, kids will fight you, but it's like, no, I'm the parent. Someday you might be a parent. You can make rules, but I'm the one who makes the rules. So one of the things that we had in our family was we had a saying. We said, obey the first time. And so we taught our kids from when they were little, obey the first time. Whatever the rule was, obey the first time.
Yep.
Why is that?
Because if they can learn to obey us as parents, they'll learn to obey God and others. It's a simple principle that really works. You know, our kids now are 18 and 21, and they're amazing kids. And I think part of that is because of that phrase, obey the first time.
And it's such a great point. Sorry. It's such a great point that you're teaching them how to relate to God.
Yes.
Not that you're God, but you kind of are in that role in their life, especially when they're little. And so if they learn to obey you, then they're going to learn to obey God. And if they don't learn to obey you, they're not going to learn to obey God, and they're going to be in for a world of hurt, which was the other thing we taught our kids. We taught them the word consequences. Like when they were little, they would be like, mama, dada, consequences. Like that was one of their first words, because we wanted to teach them not so much punishment, but man, the way the world works, if you don't obey the first time, there's going to be a consequence. You're not going to like not obeying. So talk a little bit about consequences.
Yeah, consequences are important because, you know, if you touch a hot stove, you're going to get burned. If you do things, there's always a result from your action.
Yeah.
And so in our family, one of the things that was really important to me was to have a family where we all got along. You know, in so many households, the kids are terrible to each other and they beat each other up and they're just awful. And so I didn't want to have that for our kids. And so one of the consequences for us was if you start to get on each other, there's a consequence. Obey the first time. So you'll go to your room. You'll get a timeout, whatever it is, because that's an important value in our family.
Yeah.
One of the things to keep in mind as a parent is the consequences should go with the age of the child and really the personality of the child. Mm-hmm. Every kid is different. What works? You want to think of it this way. What would make the biggest impact on my child if it was taken away, whether it's a favorite toy, a blanket, their phone, whatever it is, because you want it to be something that they care about because the goal is a change in behavior.
Right.
And so if you take away something that they don't really care about missing, then it's going to be ineffective.
It's not really a consequence.
It's not.
Yeah. And so it's funny because today everybody says to us, your kids get along so great. I mean, now they're older, but their whole lives, it's like they're best friends. Like, why do they get a, no, what they say is you're so lucky that you got friends that get along, or kids that get along as friends. And it's like, we didn't get lucky. We train them in that. Just like you would train a kid
hard
to become a gymnast or to speak a different language. We trained our kids to like each other and to get along, and it works. So I would just encourage you, if you're like, well, you don't know my kid's a terror, and you know, I got this 2-year-old, I got this 12-year-old, and they will not listen to me. Make them listen, persevere in this. So there's a phrase, he who walks away lives to fight another day. And it's supposed to be like, hey, if you walk away, you'll still be alive to fight more, and, you know, from that battle scene. Well, it's kind of the opposite, I would say, in parenting. If you walk away from the battle, you're going to fight another day and another day and another day. But if you just grit your teeth and clench your fists and say, no, I am going to win this fight, you will experience this consequence. Over time, they're going to learn, I might as well not fight. And so if you don't walk away, you won't have to fight another day. The fighting's going to stop because they're going to learn to obey the first time. Because if I don't, there is a consequence. All right. So that's discipline. The other ingredient in creating kids and leading kids to be people who you are easy to like is love. So let's talk about loving your kids. Tell me a little about that.
In some ways, this is more important, right? Because when you think about discipline, it can be kind of authoritative and you're like, ooh, I don't like that. I don't want to be that kind of parent where my kids are afraid of me. Our kids have never been afraid of us because that discipline is clothed in love. There's love before it, there's love during it, and there's love after it. So what that means is if you get in trouble, I'm going to take you up to your room, let's say for a timeout, and we're going to talk about it. Just short, you know, if they're little, they don't need a speech. But like, hey, buddy, you can't hit your sister. That's not kind. You're going to spend a few minutes in your room. And then when I come back and get you, we're going to hug. I'm going to tell you I love you. I'm going to bring your sister in. She's going to, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And so it's just a real short thing. But discipline has to be kind of enveloped in love, or it's not going to work and it could be harmful.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk about, so you would think loving a kid for a parent, it's all the same, but it's not. Mm-hmm. because your kids are not the same. And
exactly.
So even if you have two or three kids, even how you show them love might be different.
Yes.
And so talk a little bit about knowing your kids and how to love them in a way that makes sense.
There's a great book on love languages for kids. They have a kids version. And again, it teaches you five different ways that you can show love to your children.
Right. So the idea being that we don't all receive love the same. You know, for some people, if I said, I love you, it's like, whoa, you love me? And it makes my heart swell and pitter-patter. For some people, I'd be like, those are just words. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you say I love you, show me. And so everybody receives love in different ways. And so this book, the idea is like, there's different ways to show a person, including your kid, that you love them.
Yeah. For instance, with our daughter, her love language is touch. So she likes to be touched and we snuggle a lot. If I were to give her words of affirmation, she might like it, but it wouldn't be as meaningful to her as touch. Mm-hmm. And so it's really about knowing your kids. And again, they're different and they have different personalities. Who is your kid? Really becoming a student of who your child is will help you to know how to love them better.
Yeah. And we want to raise great kids and we want our kids to know we love them. And so you figure out, you know, what works with my kids. So like with my son, we play video games together and I happen to enjoy it. But even if I didn't, I would do it because I'm supposed to serve my kid, not in a way that he's the boss and I'm not, I'm the authority, but I want to raise a kid who knows I love them. And so how do I spend time with them doing things that they enjoy that's going to build our relationship? And so it's becoming a student of your kid, finding out, man, my kid, you know, I like to go fishing. My kid hates it. Well, then, you know, I probably just need to not ask them to go fishing. I need to find what do they like to do that makes them feel loved.
Yeah. And I think too, it's figuring out how to best relate to them and then spending time doing it. As parents, it is easy to be lazy. It's easy to work your job, come home, eat dinner, and then crash on the couch for the whole night. Being intentional about your time that you spend with them is really important. Like for us, I think one-on-one time with our kids is invaluable. And so, you know, I go out to eat with my kids one-on-one. You play video games with Dawson. With Marissa, you guys do puzzle contests. It's those things. But it takes work because there's a lot other things we could be doing with our time. And so it's about prioritizing our kids, thinking of them as like, one of the ways I look at it is, maybe it's such a short amount of time. You know, our kids now are 21 and 18. My time with them is, it's not over, but the majority of it is. And so when you think of having kids as being a gift to you, you then become more responsible with the gift that you're given. So it's spending that time together. It's doing fun things. It's snuggling on the couch. It's all of those things. It matters. So you have to put time and energy into it.
So I want to encourage you, because I could picture somebody listening going, I don't know if I have this in me. I you know, I'm too tired. I'm too worn out. For you to be able to do a good job with this, you're going to need God in you, right? Like you're going to need your relationship with God to be one where it's daily. It's not, you know, our relationship is not in the past tense. It's today that I spent time with God and he gave me strength and I felt his love. So I'd love to give my kid. But here's the other thing maybe you've never thought about is you need God in you to be able to like your kid and love your kid. But your kid also needs God in them to be a likable person and to work in this parent-child relationship. And so just tell us a couple things you did with our kids.
Yeah. It starts with those children's Bibles and reading them daily to your kids when they're babies. Next, what we did was we read through the Bible together, but I had them draw like their own version of it. So every page is a different Bible story. We still have those. Those are amazing gifts that we have. Sometimes it's hard to spend time with God because there's just chaos and lots of stuff going on. But that is something that I always prioritized and my children always saw that. And so it was like, this is mom's time with God. I'm going to read my Bible now and talk to God. And so you need to watch a video or go play or whatever. And so they have seen me actively living out my faith from the time they were babies. It was something that was important to me and that was a priority. And so modeling that, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
VeggieTales are amazing.
Those are videos that teach Bible stories.
Silly videos. My kids grew up on them, and they know a lot of the stories from the Bible from the VeggieTales. They're a little inaccurate, and there's vegetables and their memories, but they're good, and it's fun.
Yeah. So another thing I would just say is, make church a priority for your kids.
Yes.
That for us, it was like, and not because I'm a pastor, it's like, man, God says we can't do our relationship with him. We can't live Christian lives on our own. We need to be a part of a community, and our kids need that. Mm-hmm. And so like being at church, being in student ministry has always been a priority. Sometimes there's parents who it's like, you know, well, my kid was bad this week, so I'm not letting them go to student ministry because they love it too much. And it's like, what's going to help your kid not be bad and not disobey and not do that bad thing is having God in them. They don't have it in them, just like I don't. I don't have it in me to be a great person who doesn't sin. Neither does your kid. And so you need your kid to be at church. You need your kid to be at student ministry so that they're getting God. They're getting God's word. They're getting God in them so they can have a better week next week. That is not the way to punish them. You're making it more likely that you're going to have another bad week next week. And so get God
in them. I think, too, having your kids volunteer in church. Both of our kids started volunteering at a really young age, they love it. They have a community of adult people who are pouring into them. They learn how to serve and give of themselves. In fact, our kids are way more involved at Verve than even I am, which I think is so cool. It's not like a we have to. It's like a we get to. This is fun.
So the last thing I would have to say about it is just communication, that of really talking to your kids and listening to your kids.
Yes.
There's a great verse in the Bible in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, says the purpose in someone's heart is like deep water, but a person of understanding will draw it out. So your kid has so many things going on. No matter what their age, they have things they're processing and learning and trying to understand and struggling with. And your purpose as a parent is to draw those things out through communication, through having a safe place where your kid can talk to you without fear and just share with you. And so any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think being that for your children is incredibly important. Also having other adults who are speaking life into your kids is invaluable.
Yeah.
I counsel a lot of kids, and if your children are really struggling, getting them help, because there's some issues that you can't handle as a parent or you're too mixed up in it. And so getting them and providing resources for them to have support from others, I think is important.
Yeah,
also,
counseling could be that, but also just being in church, being in student ministry, so our kids have adults that they turn to other than us when they have to talk through stuff. And it's like, thank you, God, that we don't have to do this on our own. Yeah. It really does take a village. And so it's so awesome that because we've had them in church, they have other people who they have that kind of relationship with.
And now it's cool because they are those adults for other kids. Like just yesterday, they're hanging out with a couple of kids from their youth group. Like, how awesome is that, that they're becoming those people of influence in other kids' lives.
Yeah. So I want to end with this, because I know hearing this, hopefully it's encouraging and you're like, I could do that. No, I haven't done that. But sometimes it can feel discouraging, like, I have not done this right. I've screwed up. I haven't done. And so maybe you're like, my kid has not been parented this way. And so I'm in a place where it's too late. And I just want to tell you, it is not too late. It really isn't. And if you don't believe that, watch one of those super nanny TV shows. Like, I don't know if you've seen these, but you know, it's like this kid who is like this monster, and they bring in super nanny, and the parents like, well, they're not gonna be able to change my kid. And like by the end of the week, the kid is completely different. What happened? Exactly what we're talking about, right? The nanny came in and established, I am the authority you're going to obey, and there's going to be consequences if you don't. Exactly what we talked about. And at first, the kid's like, no, no. But eventually, they realize there are real consequences, and I don't want to deal with them. And it changes the kid's attitude. It changes their behavior. And the parents come back, and they're like, how did this happen? And it's like the nanny parented according to the way that God tells us to in the Bible and the way that we're talking about today. And so, like, your kid can change. In fact, there's a great book you talk about.
Yeah, there's a great book called Have a New Kid by Friday by, I think, Kevin Lehman. Yeah. They also have a teenage version. It's a really, it'll be difficult to implement, but it's a really easy step-by-step guide from Monday through Friday. How do you change your kid? And that's a really great resource. There's also, I mean, tons of parenting books out there.
Have a Great Kid by Friday, Kevin Lehman. And so, yeah, the idea is like your kid can change this week. So it may not be a complete revolution this week, but you can start seeing improvements this week. And we know this isn't easy. There have been times where we had to battle. We had this obey the first time, and there was one point where it's like, hey, that stopped happening. So I literally sat everyone down and said, we are instituting martial law. And my kids are like, what is martial law? And I'm like, you're going to find out. Remember obey the first time? We've been letting that slip. Like when I say, hey, dinner, you don't come down. I have to say it three or four times. We're going back to obey the first time. Consequences if you don't. Once you get back to doing this right, then maybe we'll let things slide a little bit. But right now, martial law. And so you can do this and you can see your kid change. And so it is not too late. And to do this, we're going to need God to help us. So let's start this journey by praying together. You can do this with God's help. Let's ask him for his help right now. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a great father to us. A lot of us were not parented in the way we were supposed to be. And the amazing thing is you are a perfect, loving father. And so we have the right parent now. And even if we haven't been that right parent, we have you to help us to make the changes we need to make to help our kids be the people you have in mind for them to be so that they can be likable people who are fun to parent and who become friends and the kind of people that we want to be around. So God, would you help us to live out what we talked about today? We know that with your help, we can do that. God, we pray all these things in the name of your Son. We pray to our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.